trip down memory lane for me.
We first went live in Swindon. Can people hear me? Yeah? We first went live in Swindon in 2007, and I was part of one of the early teams. In many ways, it hasn't changed at all. The role of a street pastor is exactly the same, whether it's here in Swindon or anywhere else in the country, and it'd be interesting to hear some of your thoughts about your experiences. But what many of the things I've said is exactly what we do on the streets. But I was struck by something. One of the gentlemen sat there chatting about we reach people's lives and we hope that something will change. He was a trustee and our treasurer for a period of time, and a group of us were praying one evening, and he just raised to God the people he'd met on the streets. And as he was saying it, it went through my mind, Lord, you met every single person, that every single street pastor who ever has been out on the streets in Swindon. You met them, you spoke with them, you know their name. Even people that we just went by and just smiled at, you knew them and you spoke with them. And I was absolutely convicted in that moment that God is still talking to their lives and calling them back. And he will not stop until he's completed what he's planned to do. You said that God's word never comes back in vain. Well, he has asked his church, his people, to go out on the streets to be the light of the world. And it was this verse from the opening songs, light of the world, step down into darkness. I would like to share something with you that about 4 years ago, Reverend Simon Stevenette, who is the minister at Christ Church, phoned me up and said, Anna, as coordinator of street pastors, could I have a chat with you? Yeah. And he said, this coming Sunday, there is a service that will be held right across the country. Its history is through the Church of England. It's 400 years old, and it's a sung evening service. We will be holding it in Swindon, as will churches right across Britain. It's been being sung for 400 years. I just thought that itself was amazing. But he said, here in Swindon, I am going to use it to turn on the light for Swindon. And we're going to light Christchurch, and many of you will know it, on the hill with the spire, the cross at the top. We're going to light it on the outside. Now, this was in November, so it really showed up. And he said, I've been told by the police that the most domestic abuse in Swindon, or right across the country, happens between 6 o'clock in the evening and 7 o'clock in the evening. It's not that it doesn't happen the rest of the day, but that's the peak time. Well, this service is 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So we're going to declare light over families and households in Swindon. He'd also been chatting to me just before then, and I had told him that there's a club in Old Town called The Tree, and it's the one in the car park behind where Co-op is. There's like a square, and in the middle is this building. At one point it was called The Mission, now it's called The Tree. That club alone holds 1,000 young people. That one club alone. And the police have told me that they have, and they expect to get 1,000 people on a Saturday night. I'd shared that with them, Reverend Simon Stevenette, and he said to me, he was shocked. He said, I had no idea. I had no idea that right here on our doorstep, 1,000 people. Well, I asked the police recently, I knew I was coming here to talk to you, I asked them, how many people now do you expect in Old Town? That video was the town centre. In Old Town, on a Saturday night, they expect something like 3,000 to 5,000 young people. And you'll know Old Town well. There's Wood Street, and that's got some clubs and bars in it. Then you come down the High Street. That's got a brand new club called Kioki. It's only been open about 9 months. They expect something like 600 people. Then you come along Newport Street, and that's got a big pub in it. Then you come up Devizes Road, and it's got various restaurants and cafes and the theatre there. And if you just go around the corner and down Victoria Road, you've got what they call Long's Bar. And then in the middle, you've got this tree. Just that square, 3,000 to 5,000 people. When we went live back in 2007, the focus, the term that's used is the nighttime economy. That's the jargon. And so back when we went live, now across Britain, no street pastor goes anywhere unless they've gone to the police and gone to the borough and said, out of courtesy, we're the church, we'd like to come out and serve at night. Would you be happy for us to do that? And we'd done that in Swindon, and then they ask them, where would you like us to focus? And back at the beginning, they said the town centre, there we expect between 10 and 12,000 people in that night, just in the town centre. That's where we were then. Much more recently, passporting forward, the town centre's changed dramatically. You'll know that just going in and out of it now. Very few pubs and clubs are there, they've all closed down. And it dropped to less than 1,000. It was nearer 500. As street pastors, we lost a lot of people come and go, because they do. We know our lives change. And our numbers dropped to just 5. So we came together and we said, where do we go from here? And we had an honest conversation with ourselves. And although I said there was just 5 on the streets, there was actually 14 in total. There was some prayers, there was some management, these 5 street pastors. And we said, let's give ourselves 2 weeks to really think about it and pray about it, come back together and make an honest decision. Do we need to close? And if we do, we'll close positively with praise and thanksgiving for what God has done. So we did that. That very same week, Swindon Borough Council and the police contacted me and said, please, can I talk to you? We want you to come back out on the streets. We need you out here. But we don't want you in the town centre anymore. But the new social area for Swindon is Old Town. So I met them and they had that conversation with me. I said, would you come and would you meet my 14 people and tell them what you've just said to me? He said, yeah, we will. And that happened. They had a conversation with all the team. And out of that, the team said, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. So I then said to the police and the borough, that's brilliant, but our source of volunteers is within the church, and without the support of the church, we can't recruit more volunteers. Now, I want to put a little caveat in there. Scripture says, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few, so ask the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers. Back then, I was going to the church and asked them. We got support, but it was always hard work. But God then showed me that scripture, and I actually went and repented to him, because God doesn't tell me go to the church and ask people to come and volunteer. He says, come to me and ask me. I'm the Lord of the harvest. So I am not here today to drum up your support to volunteer for street, but I genuinely am not. I felt God say, please would you just go back to your church and tell them what you know is happening in the town that the church is doing out on the streets. His Holy Spirit will talk to you. For some of you, it may well be, street pastors. But for all of you, it may be, actually, I know God's talking to me, but it's not street pastors. That's absolutely fine. But here we are back there. So I said to the borough and I said to the police, you've told this group, and they now know they want to keep going. But would you have that same conversation with the wider church? Because actually, Reverend Simon Stevenette, he, a different occasion, he said to me, Anna, I really support street pastors, but please give me one good reason why I should say to my congregation, support street pastors, because I've got 101 things they could support. Knowing that the town centre had dwindled. And I looked at him, I said, thank you, that's such an honest conversation question, but I don't know the answer. But I'm going to go and find the answer and come back and give it to you. Well, the police in the borough had just given it to me. They'd said, we want you out there. So the police said, yes, we will. So street pastors facilitated to bring together. We went to the network of Good News for Swindon and we wrote to the variety of churches we've got communications with. We invited them to come together, which they did. Our national body, the Ascension Trust, joined us. We hosted it. We also invited Forging Connections. Now, Forging Connections are Christian organisations that serve across the town. So they're not neighbourhood, they're town-wide. Pregnancy Choices is part of it. At one point, Swindon Special Church family were as well. I know they've moved on, but they were part of it as well. There are others you will be familiar with, Safe Families, Christians Against Poverty, etc. We invited them. We came together, and the police and the borough shared, we want street pastors out there because something very significant happened. Light into darkness. He came down to be light into darkness. Historically, in Swindon, and it might be true across the other parts of the country, there would be a negative on Christianity. It was a little bit like what you were saying, Carol, when you were children, Christianity was the accepted and public and recognised. Jesus Christ was spoken about with honour and with reverence, and everybody knew about it and loved it. We went through a phase where society says, oh, equal opportunity, anti-discrimination, no, we can't do that anymore, stop talking about Jesus. And that was true for councils as well, and schools. So you couldn't mention the name Jesus in local council because you would actually be shot down for it because it was considered to be not a good thing to do. Well, we're having this conversation with them, and a lady who had been a street pastor, she was present, and she had gone on to set up the housing project. Really sorry, I've forgotten the name of it. Doesn't matter. It was the housing project for homeless people, the night shelter. She was present, and she looked straight at the gentleman who was representing Swindon Borough Council, and she knew him well. They'd had lots of working. They'd worked together on a number of occasions, but she said to him, there's something you need to know. We love serving this town. We want to serve the people well. We love working with you in partnership, and we want to serve you well. But you need to know, we don't serve you first. We serve Jesus. And in that moment, something changed because neither the borough nor the police balked at it. They have authority on earth. They have spiritual authority because they represent the local council, they represent the local police. The church was present as well. The church spoke up and said, first and foremost, we serve Jesus. The conversations carried on. At the end of the morning, the guy who was leading it, Adrian Parasanke, he said to everybody, all parties, and he looked at each one in turn, the police, the borough, the church, how do you now feel listening to what you have done this morning? Are you willing to work in partnership with us or explore what that might look like? And are you willing to support each other that street pastors and others can come back out on the streets? And there was a resounding yes. Now in that moment, the borough and the police and the church came together in unity, and God said, light in the world, I can take a stance now because I've been given permission, I've been invited in. So we go out into the light. Passport to Simon Stevenette saying to me, please would you come and speak at this service? Or come to the service. I would like street pastors to be there too. This is this evening 400-year-old service because I'm going to dedicate it to turn on the light for families where there is need to bless families, for the old town and the young people who come here on a Saturday night, Friday and Saturday night, for street pastors, and I'm going to ask to pray for the police as well. Please, would you come? And I said, yes, I would. So then he said, please, would you read the word for the evening? I said, if you'd like me to, yes, I will. He said, I'll let you know what it is. Well, I'm going to read it to you because I think it's significant for what you're praying about here and speaking into today. It's from Luke, and it's where Jesus, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll containing the messages of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll to the place where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the downtrodden will be freed from their oppressors, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come. And I walked away from that, and I really felt God was saying, today I have acknowledged that the church has stood up and said, we declare light over Swindon. And I really felt him saying, I'm going to anoint the body to be that light, and street pastors, you're part of it. We go out at night in the dark, as you rightly acknowledged, but we go out in the physical darkness, but actually we go out into a spiritual darkness. And there's some actually quite nasty stuff happening on our streets. And I don't mean aggression as in fights or whatever. I mean the level of alcohol misuse that is controlling people. There is county lines, which is where drugs are being pushed to young people. It's happening in Old Town. Some of the music, it is not nice. And it's very, very loud. Some of the videos that people are seeing is not nice. The young people themselves are absolutely great. But I recently chatted to a young woman, and she was asking me what I did. I told her about street pastors, and she said, when I was that sort of age, I used to go out on a Saturday night. She said, on face value, I was going out to have a good time. But she said, I wasn't. Inside, a part of me was looking for someone to care about me and to love me and to value me. And I was looking there to find it. I never did. And often, I would find myself coming home and I'd be in tears with mascara coming down my face because I hadn't found the person for me or what I was looking for. She said, I now know, many years on, I was looking in the wrong place. She said, there were times when I did drink too much. She said, if I'd had someone there who came and sat with me and said some gentle words and said, you know, you really are loved, you really are valued, and there is someone who cares about you very dearly, and their name is Jesus. And I'm going to close by telling you an actual testimony of something that happened, because it really speaks volume. This is what we do. That is, we were out one night, it was about 3:30 in the morning. Street pastors go out at 10 at night and stay through till 4 a.m. in the morning. In Swindon at the moment, we're staying till 2. We want to grow our teams and we're going to gradually expand to 4 a.m. But on this occasion, we're out 3:30. It was down the bottom of town. Most of the clubs had entered, most people had gone home. But often what we do then, as street pastors, we walk round the sort of side alleyways around the backs just to double check there's no one who's had a bit too much to drink and got, you know, left there or whatever and can't get home safely. So we did this and we encountered a gentleman. I would have said he was probably in his 50s, possibly. Very smartly dressed, informally. But he was slumped up against a hoarding, sound asleep. Immediately on encountering him, it was obvious he had both vomited and urinated. But he was sound asleep. We looked at him and we realised he's actually very vulnerable. Not least because he could get very cold and just hypothermia alone is dangerous. But he's exactly the kind of person we're there to support. There's always four of us, this is part of us, we're always in teams of four and there's always men and women. So what we agreed that one of the men and one of the women would very quietly approach him in a way to gently wake him, not to alarm him that he was being four people looking at him, you know, threatening. They did wake him, we did have a conversation with him. Can we support you to get home? And at first he just wanted to go back to sleep. But we carried on chatting with him, we carried on engaging with him, and eventually said, okay, all right then, where do you live? I live in Letchlade. Can we organise for a taxi to come and help, to come and take you home? Have you got any money? And he said, yes, I've got some money. Fine, we'll organise the taxi and we'll support you to get home. So where we were, the taxis can't pull up, but we knew where they could. So two of the street pastors said, we'll sort the taxis. And a guy named Phil and myself said, that's fine, we'll walk with this gentleman and we'll meet you where we know the taxi will be. So they've gone on ahead, sort of the taxi. Phil's there, this gentleman's here, I'm here, and we're walking. We get a third of the distance. It wasn't a long way, but it was a little bit of a walk. We get a third of the distance, and this guy stopped. Why do you do this? Why do you do this? Why are you here? So I just said to him, well, we're Christians from across the churches in Swindon, and we just come out at night to support people to keep safe, have a good evening, and then get home safely. Oh, okay then, okay. So we walk on a bit further, and we get another third of the way there, and he stops again. But why are you here? Why do you do it? So this time Phil spoke up, and in his own words, his own language, he said something equivalent. He's got one? Okay. So we start walking again. And I'm then thinking, Lord, I don't think he's going to accept the offer to have a taxi home. If that's the case, as street pastors, we're not out to force anybody to do anything. We do have to be able to say, we'd love to support you to get home, but if you don't want to, that's your choice. We've got to then walk away. And I know how that will leave us feeling. It's hard when you can't sort something out for someone. Everything about you wants to make their world right. It's not for us to make their world right. It's for God to make their world right. But that's hard. But I'm saying, Lord, what do we do? What do I do? I was the leader that evening. What do I do? And I felt God seemed to say to me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's the truth that sets people free. I came down from darkness to set the captives free. So we walk a bit further, we get into the car park, and we can see the taxi over there and the two street pastors. And he stops again. But why are you here? Why are you here? So I thought, Jesus, you told me to tell him the truth. So now I walked myself, pretending he was here, I walked round in front of him. I looked at him face to face, so he was there, I was here. Phil was there. We're very careful about appropriately, you know, interacting with people, male to female, etc. I looked him in the face and I said, you've asked us several times why we are here. Well, the reason is because we know the love of Jesus. And we know that Jesus loves you. And he wants you to know that. So we come out for people like you to discover you're really cared about. Jesus loves you. And at that point, tears welled up in his face. And he looked at me and he said, I've been out tonight. I come out most Saturdays, actually. And we go to such and such a club. We actually have a really good night and we have a really good laugh. And I meet some regular guys there, and don't get me wrong, they're really lovely people. But they don't really care about me. But you do, don't you? And I said, yes, we do. And with that, tears went up in his face. And he looked at Phil, and he looked at me, and he said, thank you. And they looked back at me and said, can I give you a hug? And I said, yes, you can. And we hugged. We gave him a few moments just to be in that moment. And then I looked at him and said, are you ready to go home now? And he said, yeah, thank you. And we walked him to the taxi, supported him to get in the taxi, off he went, and we said, thank you very much. At the end of every evening, we come together and we pray. We debrief on what we've encountered, because sometimes people don't accept our help and we know they're left in vulnerable positions. And we then say, Jesus, you met all of those people tonight. So we're now going to consciously in prayer give them to you. They're in your safe company. It's back to that scripture I quoted earlier. I never sleep, I never slumber. Please protect all of them. We're now going to go home to our beds, to our lives, and we'll listen to you. One final thing to share with you is this darkness. It's practical in the sense that it is in the dark, and we do serve people practically. That's how we show the love of God. And if people ask us, we will always be willing to tell them, as my example gave you. But actually, God says the battle is not between flesh and blood. It's not here. It's in the spiritual realm. We never ever go out on the streets if they're not a group of people praying. We call them prayer pastors. Prayer pastors in Swindon come together at 9 o'clock. We currently do it on Zoom. The wonders of Zoom allows us to do it on Zoom. It tends to be older people, not entirely, but it tends to be older people. Some of them have been street pastors, but going out on the streets at 2 o'clock in the morning is no longer their thing. But they come together on Zoom and we pray from 9 o'clock, an hour earlier, because we're praying for safe passage for people as well. And we pray right through until the street pastors go off of the streets. Some people come and pray for an hour. Some people come at 9 and leave at midnight. Others come at midnight and pray through till the end. I anchor it, so I pray throughout. But all the time we're saying, Lord, you said to us, you will be light in the darkness. We're going to declare truth, Lord. You turned the light on in Old Town. Reverend Simon Stevenette turned the light on in Old Town. We're going with the manifold presence of God. We go as people to encounter and be gentle and loving and kind. But much more importantly, we carry the Holy Spirit. Police have told us wherever street pastors are on the streets, anywhere in the country, crime is reduced by a minimum of 30%. I was going to close just now, but I've got one more thing to tell you. I heard this firsthand from the Chief Constable of Devon. Street pastors went to them and said, we want to open a street pastors in North Devon. Can we do it, please? As I shared to you before, we get permission to do it. He said, we heard that request and we went, oh, no. Every time another group of people go out on the streets at night, we have to end up dealing with it. So everything about us did not want street pastors on our streets. And at that point, it was early days. It's going back a similar time to this one. We weren't that well known about. But he said, we talked about it and we had no good reason to say no. So we thought we had to say yes. So we did say yes. Thank you very much, said street pastors, and off they went. We thought no more about it. We get to New Year's Eve, or just before, they contact us and say, thank you very much, we're all ready, we've all got ourselves sorted, we've done our training, we've got ourselves organised, we're going live in Ilfracombe on New Year's Eve. And he said, we went, oh no, New Year's Eve. He said, just to put it into context, on New Year's Eve, no police officer is allowed to take any leave. It's the busiest night of our year. But in North Devon, there's three towns, Ilfracombe, Biddeford and Barnstaple. They wanted to go live in Ilfracombe. We had no option but to say yes to them because we'd already said yes. So we're going out thinking, oh, another thing we've got to deal with. Anyway, we go live. Everybody comes out as they do on New Year's Eve. He said it actually isn't very long before we're making arrests. Now, police are there to do two things. One is to address any issues of crime, but the other is to keep social order, to prevent things becoming dangerous or crimes then happening. And sometimes they arrest people because they've got a bit silly, had a bit too much to drink or whatever, stick them in a holding cell, keep them for whatever period of time, probably give them time to calm down, then say to them, we're going to let you back out again, but if we see you again tonight, you'll be staying here 24 hours, mate. No, behave when you get out there, that sort of thing. He said it wasn't long before our cells in North Devon were all full and we were busing people further south into Devon. He said that's not unusual on New Year's Eve at all. But he said there was one thing that was very different. We never made one single arrest in Ilfracombe. The only thing that was different that night was that street pastors were out there. Across the country, the evidence is showing that where the church is out on the streets serving people and praying, they don't know that, but we do, because it's the power, it's the manifold wisdom of God that we carry. Crime comes down. And people start to engage. And locally, people say to us, thank you, because we've seen how you treat us differently. They're seeing the light in us and they want more of it. That's the start of their journey through to, tell me why, who you are and why you do this. Would you now tell us about Jesus? How can I find out about Jesus? So our goal is that we might be this starting point, but in relation with the body of Christ and maybe other organisations of Christians on the church,
they reach this point, they come, they can be here. That probably gives you a little bit of a picture, yeah?
Thank you, Anna.